I always appreciate seeing the fact that there are people besides me who believe that God is the creator and that we're creatures. It's like everything else that we see around us. It's part of his creation. Well, we as creatures are given instructions as to how we're supposed to behave, what we're supposed to do, how do we have eternal life, what happens if we choose to reject God's Son. All those things are given in Scripture. And what I'd like to look at now is a piece of that Scripture. Actually, we'll go to several different places in God's Word this morning. And it's got a pretty good history behind it. First of all, it goes back 2,000 years because that's when it was written. But in my own personal life, it goes back to 1995 when these same thoughts were presented here in this fellowship before this building was ever built. We were meeting up on the hill in Cadiz, Swimming Pool Hill it was called. And it was presented by a man named David Turk, who happened to be filling in for us when Dan was absent on another occasion. And then I didn't realize it, but one of us found another set of notes that had been done by the same guy when he came back and visited in 2002. Now, a lot of you weren't even born then. Zach, you weren't born yet. A lot of people weren't born. But the thoughts are still good. The thoughts are still the same. And while I don't typically take notes, I did on that occasion because it was a subject that was near and dear to my heart. It was the laws of sowing and reaping. Laws of sowing and reaping. I mean, what farmer would not be interested in sowing and reaping simply because you got to do both in order to make a living if you're going to be a farmer? But the sowing and reaping that is talked about here in Scripture is not just talking about corn, even though that's what we're in right now. Tommy, we have one more day to go. We'll be done. One more day of harvest of corn. It's talking about spiritual sowing and reaping. So why don't we go and look at the first Scripture, and I've got some thoughts to share with you. Some are David Turk's and some are mine, and hopefully they're all from the Lord. That's where the important part comes from. But if you look at the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Some of you could probably repeat this from memory, but we're going to read it because we want to get it right. Okay, Galatians 6, 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. That sounds straightforward enough. I mean, most of the people when this was written were very familiar with agriculture. They knew all about sowing and reaping. And Jesus had taught in parables that talked about wheat. They called it corn, but we call it corn, which is maize now, so it's a different product altogether. But the idea of sowing and reaping is one that is readily usable in the spiritual life, not just in the physical things that we see. The first law of sowing and reaping is that there is no reaping without sowing. It should make sense to everybody. You can't have a crop if you don't plant a crop. And if you're going to do it right, you have to do it after there has been a proper preparation for it. You have to plant it at the right time or you're going to lose every bit of the seed that you put in the ground. You have to put in the right amount of the seed or it's going to be either completely wasted because it's too much of it and it all falls over and you can't harvest it, or there's not enough of it and you don't maximize your return. You have to choose the variety. You have to choose the place. If you put it in the wrong place, it's going to die. All those things are true in spiritual life as well. We can say the wrong thing at the right time, and sometimes my own problem is saying the right thing at the wrong time. Works both ways. Planting, though, or sowing, as it's called here, and by the way, I think most people know, but S-O-W-I-N-G is sowing, like when you do with seed. S-E-W-I-N-G is what you do with a needle and a thread. That's two different words. Sowing in this case, is planting some kind of seed. Now, first, you might think that the sowing and reaping, the laws of sowing and reaping, are all talking about good works and what can I do to gain eternal life. It says right here in chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, or in chapter 6, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. In verse 8, it says, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, if all you did was read that for the first time and you had nothing else to back it up, you would say, if I do enough good stuff in my life, God's going to put it on the scales and I'm going to come up okay and I'll get into heaven. Well, that's not what it's teaching. That's not what Scripture teaches. In fact, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, you'll see what it really says is that you cannot have a base for good works apart from Jesus Christ. You go to Romans 10, and it says those who trust in the Lord and who confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus will be saved, and those who don't have that trust or faith and confession don't. It's as simple as that. So that's the basis from which you work. So it's not to gain eternal life. It is the things that evidence eternal life. Just to make sure we got that clear, and I didn't want to let that pass by without saying something. You have no reaping then without sowing. But even those of us who plant things or sow things for a living, we don't really know how it works. The secret is that it's still a secret. There is no scientist alive today or who has ever lived who will be able to duplicate what God does with a grain of corn when it goes in the ground and you see the sprout come up and the root go down. We cannot do it. Humans are not able to say, let there be corn, and there be corn. God is the only one who's ever done it, and he's the only one who ever can do it. Well, same thing is true with the rebirth. There's not a one of us which can will into existence a second birth or a rebirth or being born again or gain everlasting life. We just can't do it. It is not in our power to be born again. We have to ask for it. We have to believe that God can do it. And the Holy Spirit then does the work. We don't do it. So, while there is no reaping without sowing, we don't know how it works. We can't duplicate it, and God is the only one who can. That's rule number one. Rule number two, we reap the same kind that is sowed. That's just like Genesis chapter 1, verse 11. In fact, let's go back and read that so we get it right. If you will, turn with me back to Genesis 1, 11. And this is the way it reads. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. The earth brought forth grass, and the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that brings fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. That's Bible 101. I mean, that's the very basics, that God said everything will reproduce after its kind. When you plant a lettuce seed, you don't get a kumquat. If you have cows that reproduce, you don't get cabbages. Everything is according to its own kind. So the second rule is that we reap the same kind that is sowed. Same way within gardening, same way with farming, same way in life. If you sow patience, then you'll get people who are patient with you and understanding with you. If you sow impatience, you'll find people who are frustrated. It's especially true if you have a family under your care or a business under your care. The things that you sow in the way of attitude, whether it's honesty or dishonesty, whether it's truth or lies, whether it's patience or impatience, and all those other character qualities, those things will be matched in like kind with what you sow. Simple as that. You get what you throw out. Same way with sowing. The things that you reap are the things that you have sowed. So you plant the right seed, and you'll get the right crop in friends, in children, in business, many other areas of life. I'll give you a story. This happened recently. I don't know if it was last week or the week before. A friend of ours had her car stolen. Was that last week? Sometime soon, recently. She was on her way to Nashville. They homeschooled. She was going down for violin lessons or something like that and had a blowout. It took her 2 hours to get back on the road. And she and her oldest son were trying to figure out how to get the wheel out. And finally a state trooper stopped by and helped her get going. And she was worn out. So then they got down and they got some of their appointments done in Nashville, got back home, and they were just exhausted. So they tried to clean the car out, but they left one important thing in the car, and that was the keys. Well, sometime between when they went to bed that night and the next morning, somebody had come along and helped themselves to their car. It was gone. And that's a big shock if you've never had anything stolen like that. They first thought it was kind of funny, and then they thought, well, that's our only car. What are we going to do? Turned out, I think it was about a day and a half, 2 days later, her dad was driving down, I think it was Fort Campbell Boulevard. They lived there in Hopkinsville. And looked over, and there was his daughter's car pulling into a liquor store. So he follows them and wheels in, and about that time a young lady gets out to go in their liquor store. It turned out she was going to cash a check, but the man who had actually done the stealing was still behind the wheel of the car. He got out of the car and came around and was starting to peel off some of the stickers that the man's daughter had left on the thing. And the gentleman, who's a friend of ours, came up and says, I got you. That's my daughter's car. And so the guy, he wasn't thinking very clearly when he stole it. He wasn't thinking very clearly at the time. He jumps in the car and peels out, trying to get away from the father of the girl who lost the car. He forgot and he left his girlfriend in the liquor store. So guess what? The police show up and they get the girl and they say, who was that guy? And she confesses the whole thing and they track him down and they get the car back. But it turned out what led him to do that was that he was not thinking clearly as a result of his imbibing illegal products, marijuana in other words. Drugs are not a good thing. And hanging around with the wrong kind of people is not a good thing. Bad friends and bad drugs will get you in the same situation. It will cause you to do things that you later regret because it seems like such a cool idea at the time. Just in case you missed the point, it really does make a difference what you put into your body, what you put into your mind, because what you put in is what you're going to get out. If you sow to the flesh, Bible tells us, Galatians 6, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap everlasting life. Now, that story had a happy ending. A lot of them don't. A lot of them don't have happy endings. I mean, it wasn't happy for the guy who's now in jail. It wasn't happy for the girlfriend who is now an accomplice to theft. And she, as far as I know, is in jail as well. Had a happy ending for our friends. But sometimes it doesn't end happily. Sowing and reaping, it really does make a difference what you do, what you think, and who you hang out with. All right, rule number three. You cannot rush the harvest. You have to be patient. You have to wait. You have to reap later than you sow. Let's go to James chapter 5, verse 7. James chapter 5 is also a good one because it talks about farming. Verse 7. Therefore, be patient. Just what we were talking about. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And it goes on to talk about the prophets and so forth. But the whole idea there is patience. You don't get the harvest, whether good or bad, immediately after you sow the seed. It will come later in life, sometimes much later. Sometimes it doesn't even come until after you have gone to be with the Lord. You're no longer here to witness it in the flesh. You're gone. I know that there are many instances that I've read about of people who have prayed and prayed for a certain thing, and it didn't happen while they were alive. It didn't happen until after they had already passed away. I'll give you one example. It's not from a Christian area, but it's from a scientific area. You probably have heard the name Thomas Alva Edison. Y'all know Thomas Edison, light bulb, inventor of the phonograph and the light bulb and so forth. There was a great debate going on in his life with another scientist named Nikola Tesla about whether electricity would best be harnessed using direct current, which Edison believed to be more safe, or whether it should be alternating current, which Tesla believed to be more efficient. And they were going at it tooth and tongue. You know, neither one of them could see the other points. In fact, for a time, Tesla worked for Edison, as Edison supposedly promised him $50,000, which at that time, over 100 years ago, was a lot of money, if Tesla would come in and perfect one of Edison's inventions. Well, Tesla did it. He perfected it. And Edison said, oh, it was a joke. You don't get the money after all. As it turns out, alternating current, and you can ask Don Griffey how it works. When I mention the names, that's about all I know. David Taves and Don Griffey can tell you all about DC and AC. As it turns out, Tesla was proven correct, even though he was long since dead. He was proven correct in that alternating current was more efficient. It was more readily adapted to what we use in houses and churches and factories and farms. But the direct current was more readily available for automobiles. Or it was used, and it's become more standard for automobiles. Why? I don't know. You can ask the scientists here after the church service is over if you'd like to. But Tesla was proved correct. In fact, the invention of the incandescent light bulb, which Edison got the credit for, as you may remember, just a few years ago, has effectively been outlawed by our Congress. And what they're going to want us to do now is to adopt a more expensive form of lighting, the fluorescent light bulb or the LED lights. But even in that, there is a lesson to be learned, because guess who was the first one to perfect the fluorescent light bulb? Nikola Tesla. Edison got the name. Tesla was the one who did the inventing, both for Edison and even now as we go into that era. So what does that say? That's a scientific area. It's got nothing to do with spirituality. But the fact of the matter is that you have to be patient, because a lot of times we don't see right away what we had hoped to be the fruit of the labors that we put in. We may not see it even while we're alive. Hopefully, though, there will be our children or grandchildren who will be able to see the good that comes out of what we do, if what we do is right. They will also see bad come out if what we sow is bad. So it still makes a difference. Okay. Rule number four, we will always reap more than we sow. Both positive and negative. If you reap good things, that means that you probably have sowed, or someone has sowed, good things in the past so that we can take advantage of them. If you do what is not right in the future at some point, just like that guy who stole the car, ran away from his girlfriend, got arrested and for stealing the car and thrown in jail, those things have great repercussions. It's just like throwing a stone in a pond. The ripples go out and are bigger and bigger. No person is an island all to themselves. You may remember D.L. Moody. You may not remember that it was a man named Kimball who came and talked to him about the Lord and led him to the Lord, so that D.L. Moody, who was one of the greatest evangelists at least of the 19th century, was able to do what he did. We always reap more than we sow. From a physical perspective, I can remember that very well, because 1999 was the worst soybean harvest I've ever experienced. It was dry, it was hot, it just didn't make any beans. And yet, even in the very worst one I can remember, we made 9 bushels an acre, but we only sowed 1 bushel an acre. Now, normally we like to get 40 or 50, and in corn we like to get more like 200. But you're still, even in the very worst year you can remember, on whatever crop it was, if it doesn't all drown out, Tommy, then you can expect to get more than you sow. One man has said it this way: any fool can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the apples in a seed. It expands. It goes on and on and on. For generations down the line, we're living because someone in our past had enough sense, enough wisdom, enough spiritual insight to do what was right. And we also experience repercussions when someone in our past did something that was wrong. Both sides are true. Rule number 5, you reap in proportion to what you sow. Now that should bring to mind a good scripture. In fact, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And there's been a lot of sermons preached on that, and they typically talk about money. That's not just talking about money. It may include money, but it's also talking about time and everything else that we give. We give it to the Lord, we give it generously, and he in turn will reward it generously. So we reap in proportion to what we sow as well as the kind of what we sow. Okay, rule number 6, we reap more if we cultivate what we sow. You need to take care of it. When Adam and Eve were first put in the garden, they were given two commands. One is take care of this place because it's yours to take care of. The second one, don't eat of that tree. They, as far as I know, took care of the place. The Garden of Eden was well cared for. Adam and Eve did what they did, but they didn't follow the second command, which was stay away from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It is better if we cultivate what we sow. If you've ever planted a garden in the spring and didn't pull the weeds, you know what I'm talking about. Same way in life. Some people say that a marriage begins just like a fresh garden with no weeds, and by the time it is over with, there's plenty of weeds to go around unless it is cultivated. I think that's true. We need to cultivate what we sow. Man always has to cultivate what is good, but he never has to cultivate what is bad. It will spring up of its own, and the evil does not have to be cultivated. It does its own work. A little bit off the subject, but let me share this one with you anyway. I was reading an article, it's been 2 or 3 years ago, about the best financial advice that was ever given to an individual. And they interviewed a number of successful people, and they published what was the best financial advice you ever got. The one man who was a farmer, believe it or not, I think struck a familiar chord with me, he said, well, my uncle gave me the best financial advice I ever had. He gave it to me in several different ways, and he said it in several different words, but the element that was always common in it was this. You need to get with it, son. You need to get off your chair and get to work. I think that's true. If you don't cultivate, if you don't work, if you don't do something, your reputation will be one of someone who is what the Bible calls a sluggard, or someone who is lazy or indolent. On the other hand, if you stick with your job and you are diligent with your job or the work that you do or the family that you raise or the whatever it is you go into, then you'll be known as someone who actually does what he's supposed to do. That's good. So you're either sowing the one or you're sowing the other. By the end of our lives, we will be known as the one or we will be known as the other. Let's get with it. Okay. Last point. Sowing and reaping. We sometimes reap where others have sown. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 37. Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 37 says, and this is the red letter, so you can pay attention. It says, "For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors." Sometimes we see the good that was created by someone else's sowing or someone else's labor, as Jesus was talking. At the same time, there will be others who will come in the future, hopefully, Lord willing, who can benefit from the good things that we did. But if you don't do what's good and you do what's bad, they will also have a penalty for those things that you do now, one way or the other. We sometimes reap where others have sown, simply the patriots, if you remember those, the one who brought us the country and gave it to us, just like John Adams told his son, "We've given you a great country if you can just keep it," or other things as well. The martyrs who have been killed, who were witnesses for Christ and are now gone because they were persecuted and killed. We reap the goodness that came from their labors. But the other thing to remember is this. If we labor and we do not reap, that means that sometime in the future, someone will reap from what we've done. So it's all together in the past and the present and the future. If someone's worked in the past and we're getting the good out of it, the good things that we do may very well benefit someone else that we will never see. So, to wrap it all up, if you want to harvest tomorrow, you have to sow today. You have to plant today. You have to do something today. I'm not just talking about corn. And I'm not just talking about wheat. I'm talking about spiritual things. The beginning of that is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, if you haven't, because that's the foundation from which everything else comes. But then after you do that, you know, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 talks about salvation and faith and grace. But then it says all of that's done so that you can do the works that God has prepared for us since before the foundation of the world. That's also included in those sowing and reaping principles. So friends, that was a good lesson back in 1995, and I hope you got something out of it today.